So the good part about going last is all these guys provide a lot of great information. So my name is Stacy Chacker, and I work at Health Resources in Action. We're a nonprofit public health organization based in Boston, and I'm going to be talking about promoting sustainability for community health workers. No relationship, no financial relationships. I have to say, so we have the New England Asthma Innovation Collaborative, which is a project I'm going to be talking about. It was funded by CMMI. I love this quote, payers from Mars and providers are from Venus. It's Harold Miller. If you have not ever seen his stuff, he does a lot of great stuff around healthcare reform. And so, you know, payers want to see the evidence, they want to see the money, they want to see the return on investment, they want to see the data. Providers are like, we do good work, community health workers are great. So I think that quote really speaks to this subject. So this is our project, and just really briefly, I'm going to skip over a lot of this stuff, but providing working on the triple aim for CMS, and we added a goal to our project. We're actually in year four of this project. Our goal was to advance sustainable payment systems, so we put that in right up front as one of our goals. And so we engaged 9 healthcare providers. Actually, over the last 3 years, we have served 1,145 patients, providing asthma home visiting services led by community health workers. And that's through 9 healthcare providers in 4 states in New England. We also have policy and training partners, some of them who are in this room. Actually, Terry worked on a project I'm going to talk about later with us. And we also engaged 7 Medicaid payers, and that's what I'm mostly going to talk about, as well as state Medicaid and MCOs, Medicaid Managed Care Organizations. So here's one of our community health workers. So basically the intervention is they're going in and assessing the environment, providing education, delivering some supplies like vacuum cleaners and supplies for integrated pest management, and really focusing on improving the quality of care and experience of the patient, and also using motivational interviewing. It's targeted on kids. I put the lizard up there because, you know, we're talking about cultural competency of community health workers, and one really brief story is one of our community health workers was talking about a family was returning to Haiti and they were going to get lizard blood to treat their child for their asthma. They thought this would cure the kid's asthma. And instead of trying to talk the family out of doing that, they waited for them to go to Haiti, come back and say, did that work? And the answer was no, that did not work. And then the family was ready to proceed with some more other methods. But so it was really about motivational interviewing and making sure that they weren't going to say, no, 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 that's not going to work. Anyway, so I'm skipping all the other stuff. But so this is about our payer engagement strategy. So when we applied for this grant, which was in January 2012, we went through a whole process to ask payers up front, would they join us as partners? And when we asked them to join us as partners, we asked them if they would provide claims and counter data. We asked them if they would come to meetings. We asked them if we could demonstrate a return on investment, if they would pay in year 3. And we asked them if they would consider policy changes. In the end, we ended up doing a payer assessment, which Terry and I did, because we realized all we were doing was knocking on their door asking for things. Give us your data, come to this meeting, give us money. And so we decided we need to go and stop ourselves and ask them about some of their views. Just some information from our perspective about inviting payers as partners is really to recruit them as soon as possible. As we just applied for, unfortunately, we're not funded, and actually one of my heroes is in this room, Julie from Sinai Urban Health Institute that just got a HUD grant, just congratulations, but to do some more fantastic work with community health workers. But I want to say that, you know, we applied for a grant 4 years ago. We invited payers right away. We actually just applied for this HUD grant. We did not get it, but we also invited payers right away to come to the table and work with us and had commitment letters from them to work with us. It's really important to reach out to the decision makers within the organization. We found the most accessible people to be their quality improvement, quality assurance, and their medical directors. Really outline the the problem and what your goal is, emphasizing the possible benefits, and whenever possible, emphasizing the possible benefits for their members, really getting high quality services, you know, building the capacity within their own area. We know that they can complement a lot of payers for the work we are doing, have like case management, and they can complement that. That we can give them back data, we can give them an analysis that they all often do not do about health outcomes and quality of life, that they get recognition. And actually the other thing about community health workers is really emphasizing that they can reach some of their hardest to reach patients. So, you know, a lot of times they have a lot of trouble actually engaging these patients. So our ask, and really, you know, specifying the ask, I already said that, was, you know, we also asked for referrals and claims data. And I have to say is when our analysis is done, we will have the biggest claims data analysis for a community health worker asthma initiative in the country. So we're really proud of that. I can also say as one of the two people that put together this partnership, I had really no idea what I was asking for when I started around some claims data and some other issues. So I've had a lot of lessons I've learned over the last years. And one was particularly around securing claims data. We asked for all the wrong data when we started. We asked for de-identified data specifically for asthma. And my colleague, Heather Nelson, who's the co-PI on this project, we were going around to payers saying, we don't need to know about Sally's broken arm, we just want to know about her asthma. And in the end, we ended up hiring a health economist. We got money after the fact to hire them, the Center for Health Policy and Research, which is analyzing our claims data. And they're like, no, no, we need to know about everything. So we had to go around to all the payers again and say, actually, we want to know about everything, including behavioral health. So anyway, so we needed to assure to them that this was a HIPAA compliant environment. So we actually had to go through IRB processes and everything. I'm going to show you a data transfer map, which I developed a million of them. They're really, it's a complicated process about how to get data from one place to the other if you're not part of the system. And we've actually had some mistakes with patient consent forms where they weren't specific enough. So I would say when you're trying to get data from a payer to another party, be really careful about your patient consent forms and make sure they're reviewed upfront, frequently. If there's a change in the payer personnel, which there often is, make sure you go back to the new person with the details because everyone's got a different opinion, which is the killer. So in terms of securing claims and counter data, we work with the Payer Compliance Office. We are 3.5 years into our project. We're still working on this in the state, in the case of Massachusetts, because you work with a privacy officer, and a privacy officer leaves, it's a lawyer. And then a new person comes, and you start all over again. Anyway, you need to develop very specific ask about what you're looking for in terms of data. In terms of getting their claims data, you need to remind them and bug them in advance about when you need it. For our project, we're getting 2 data draws. One was supposedly in June a year ago, and it took us till like November to get it. And our next one is in this December. You need to review all the data, make sure it's complete, and you need to be prepared to negotiate and problem solve on a continuous basis. There's a lot of legal stuff to take care of, like data use agreements. This is really boring background information, but you're not going to get the information you need if you don't do this stuff. So this is just an example. I'm not even going to spell it out for you, but you know where data is going, how it's being protected. It's really complicated stuff, and you know, we wanted to share it in a lot of places. So as I said before, Terry and I, we did a payer assessment. We hired Terry as a consultant as part of the Massachusetts Association of Community Health Workers. And really, we were just trying to find more about issues that were important to the payers, really how they viewed community health workers and how they viewed home-based environmental interventions. I'm not really going to go into this assessment so much, just because that's not the focus of this talk. But I want to, so I want to just, as I said, we did use it as a tool. We interviewed 14 payers across the region. We used it as a tool to have conversations with them and to learn more about what they were thinking. We also brought them together last March at a payer assessment across the region. We had around 70 people there. We also had a lot of federal agencies there. We had a lot of our providers were there. And we shared findings with them. We had a preliminary cost analysis, so we shared that with them. Actually, we had Family Health Network, Barbara Hay come in from Chicago, which I have to say, when I look around the country for asthma interventions, they are the place I always talk about. They're funding Sinai Urban Health Institute for like a case rate for their asthma interventions. And as far as I'm concerned, from what I see, there's very few payers that are actually paying what community health workers actually cost, interventions cost. So I think Family Health Network is one of them. I have to say this, but when I look at Texas and Minnesota, it's great what we have on the books. What concerns me is the small rates of funding that they're actually proposing and have proposed for community health workers. Payment models for community health workers. Okay, so anyway, so we had Barbara there. That was fantastic. We had a caregiver come talk about their perspective about, you know, why this was so important to their family. And then we had a discussion about how to sustain initiatives. How to sustain initiatives of payers is not going to happen in a big meeting. Our providers all said to us afterwards that they thought it was really important that we brought together our region, we got together payers from 6 states, both Medicaid, managed care, as well as the state agencies. We also invite commercial payers. And that they saw the attention that was being given to this. They saw the feds in the room. They heard about other models. That it gave them momentum to go back and talk to their payers, and that was really important. I'm just going to say that, you know, we have really great findings from our preliminary findings. I know I'm not going to go into the findings, but we, you know, definitely are showing decreases in healthcare utilization and all that other kind of stuff, improved health. So there's a lot of challenging. I actually spoke at a talk this summer and learned what rated funding means. There's a lot of programs out there, including Sinai Urban Health Institute, as well as our providers that are rating funding. It means you might get some money from the state and some federal money and some Medicaid money and some grant private money. Some people think that allows a lot of flexibility. I think that for providers that want to provide health care, it also provides a lot of headaches because you always have to be looking for money. Our Medicaid managed care organizations were willing to pay if we served a return on investment. I did not know when we applied that we would not be able to show a return on investment until this coming April. So that has been a huge challenge. Some of our providers, we have 9 providers, only 4 of them are still in business right now. The others have grant funding. We all know the story. When the grant runs out, so does the funding. So the ones that have been able to sustain themselves, I'm jumping all over the place, have been able to do that with some state funding. In Vermont, actually, they've incorporated them into their chronic care team. But I have to say is that several of our sites are in discussions with payers. One of the payers that refused to come to the table as a partner in Rhode Island has actually is like this close to considering paying for an additional pilot program for higher risk patients in the same population. In Connecticut, our providers are making great progress with the state Medicaid office. And so we see a lot of movement. And certainly we're going to have an analysis in April. We're going to have another payer meeting. And we're going to be working more on policy issues. Some things to look at, I mentioned already, there's always a lot of turnover at payer organizations. So you need to go back and re-educate. And it is a pain in the neck. And they have changing priorities. So one guy that was there before might be a champion around community health workers and asthma, and the new Medicaid director's like, you know, we're into, heart disease, and, you know, this is not a priority. I think also, you know, a big challenge is also what we talked about is moving from fee-for-service to value-based payment. So, you know, we know that our intervention is really not big enough to move that dime, but we think that the data that we're able to provide across the country will help really with asthma community health worker visiting. We hope also with community health workers in general, but we know that for asthma home visiting. You know, also this next year, our project very much focused on Medicaid payers. We are starting to shift also to accountable care organizations and providers. As we've learned more, we know that many of the decisions will be with providers moving forward. These are some of the opportunities. So this next year, when we have a meeting with payers, we'll also be including accountable care organizations and, if we can get them, I don't think we will be able to, but CEOs of some of the hospitals and other providers. Everybody here mentioned some of the opportunities that are moving forward. You know, the CMS ruling is really focused on the who and not the what. So actually asthma home visiting doesn't fall under that. So because the what environmental interventions is not covered under CMS currently. I have to say this, but you know, the children's bundle payment for asthma home visiting in Massachusetts has been touted all over the country for the last several years. It's still not off the ground. So even when you get a waiver, there's huge challenges to actually implementing that. I'm not going to say these other things because you guys have said a lot of other things. Actually, you know, the payment model I do not have on here, which is basically a lot of these together, rolled together as value-based payments. I have to say is that Harold Miller has become my hero in terms of just his analysis of payment reform and just really learning from the stuff that he does. So our next steps, I've already said this, is that we're, you know, both individually our providers in the different states are having ongoing meetings with with the payers. We're doing our economic analysis. So our economic analysis is looking at claims and encounter data from the payers 12 months post and, pre-intervention and 12 months post-intervention. Our analysis is also based on data from the, collected during the home visits, both observational as well as questions to the caregivers. We're having another summit next year. So we did not get this grant, but we're actually going to continue to shop around the study to be able to do an analysis of our data looking 24 months out since we have access to this claims data. And we would love to do a study, which is what we had proposed, to look at the impact of the home visits not just on the child, but also on the child's, on their siblings, because if you're changing the home environment and educating parents and motivating them to do things that they might not have done, like smoke outside instead of inside, and it might have an impact on the rest of the family. So that's it. These are my colleagues internally at my organization. Heather Nelson does our evaluation, and Annie Rushman. And we are also working for the Center for Health Policy and Research at UMass Medical School to do the analysis. And I also have to say, my mom's here.
I want to thank all our great speakers. Can I have one more round of applause for everyone?